We're happy to have Brother Joe here. It's his first time in Boise, and we gave him a nice weatherly welcome, and I'm sure you all welcome him with open arms, and we're very pleased to have him with us. And for his subject this morning, he has chosen a new commandment. A new commandment. Brother Joe?
Thank you, Brother Allen. We are very delighted to be with you, brethren, in this convention. And we want to express our many thanks to the brethren from Boise for extending to us such a beautiful welcome. And we also want to thank them for extending to us an invitation to speak to you and be part of their convention. But I have a little responsibility to free myself of the friends in New Hampshire, which we served last week. They wish to be remembered to you, and also the brethren from New London, Groton, they also send you their Christian love and greetings. Brethren, what I, with the Lord's help, what I would like to accomplish this morning is to give a little encouragement to your heart and mind as to how much our Heavenly Father loves you. And before I do that, I would like to share with you few experiences which there are tangible facts related to that wonderful love and care that our Heavenly Father has for you and I. 4 years ago, I went to South America on a pilgrim trip. My destination was a little town in Brazil where Brother Fonseca lives. We have a beautiful class there. I arrived in St. Paul, Brazil. I was to change another plane to go to San Jose, where the Brother Fonseca lives. Once we got into the plane and ready to take off, an announcement came over the loudspeaker that a time bomb was on the plane. You can just imagine the turmoil and the panicking among 290 people to get off the plane. Well, we missed the flight. The following day, we've gone to the city over San Jose. But it was 3 days later that I found out through a newspaper, the time bomb was on that particular plane, but it failed to explode. In 1983, some of you remember, There was an earthquake in Italy, in the province of Naples. And some contribution money, that is, was donated by the Canadian and the American friends. I went to Italy to see the brethren. When I went to see the towns where the brethren were, the best way I can describe to you, my brethren, is that it was just like a bulldozer that went over. Every single house was completely destroyed. I went to see a dear brother and his family. The house on the right was a complete demolish. The house on the left was a complete demolish. The house on the front was completely demolished. And the house where the brother was, it was just a crack in the center. The brother decided to remain in the house with the assumption that they know that the Lord knew where they were. They trusted their Heavenly Father. Some of you remember our beloved brother F.A. After the Second World War, he went to England to visit the friends. He visited the house of one of the brother there, and the brother showed him that a German bomb, came down through the roof to the second floor, to the first floor, to the basement, and the bomb, it didn't explode. My brethren, this is a loving God, a loving Father that we worship and put our trust in Him. But there is one little word. Yes, there is some conditions. One simple little word that Jesus tell us what that word is. If you open your Bible in the book of John 14:21, which he reads, "He who has my commandments and keep them, it is he who loves me. And he who loves me will be loved by my Father. And I will love him and manifest myself to him." My dear brethren, this is a specific commandment to us, which we must do in order to be loved by our Heavenly Father. And you recall that on the night of the memorial in the upper room, another statement was made by the Lord, that concerned our relationship with the brethren. He gave us a new commandment that we love one another as he has loved us. I'm sure we all agree that there is no greater honor and privilege than to be loved by Heavenly Father and our beloved Master. And to have this love manifest in various ways in the Christian life is much more than we deserve. And we are thankful with all our heart for such a love. Yes, we are blessed indeed if in all our dear experiences of life we can recognize the hand in providence manifesting the love of our Heavenly Father towards us. And as the Apostle Paul writes in Romans 5:5, sharing the love abroad in our hearts. Yes, it requires faith and knowledge of God's purpose for us to discern His loving hands in every experience that He permits. But it also is important to remember that whom He loved, He disciplined. Knowing this and have a complete confidence in this knowledge of what is best for us, the assurance of a faith that we have in His integrity enable us to realize that behind a frowning providence He has, or He hides, a smiling face. But to enjoy the blessings and fellowship with the Father and with the Son, and to have the assurance over the privilege dwelling under the canopy over their love, it calls for our keeping all the commandments, which will guide us in the narrow way and doing the Lord's will. And outstanding among those commandments is the one directly expresses by Jesus Himself, that we love one another as He loved us. This new commandment that Jesus gave us need to be analyzed in the light of the Scripture if we are to understand all that it should mean to us. And you recall that Jesus in various times mentioned some of the details related to the will of God. And even though these commandments given to the new creature are not stated in the same manner of the law given to flesh of Israel, recall which He said, thou shalt and thou shalt not, they are nevertheless equal binding upon all who covenant to follow in Jesus' footsteps. The Christian covenant is an agreement to sacrifice. We all know that. Not the sacrifice of animals, but of himself or herself. You recall that in the service of the tabernacle, animals were offering sacrifice. But through the Apostle Paul, we are admonished to present our living body as a sacrifice wholly acceptable unto God, which is our reasonable service. Not our reasonable service, but our reasonable service. that extending this invitation, Paul tells us that to the renew of our mind, to prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. And in order there will be no misunderstanding concerning what involved in doing the Lord's will, Paul in succeeding verses mentioned many details, all which we may properly consider as a commandment by Jesus. And we know that Paul, the Apostle Paul, was an inspired mouthpiece of the Master. Let us consider some of them. 1 Corinthians 12:6. I will read it from the Living Bible. There are many ways in which God works in our lives, but it is the same God who does work in all of us. And then after explaining that there are many members of the body of Christ and all of them do not have the same talent, nevertheless he went on to say they are all members of one another. And he urged us to be faithful in whatever talent that we have and whatever a privilege the Lord has granted to us. And we know by the grace of God, among the people, the Lord's people, we see many talents that faithfully are being used by the Lord. Whether it is the responsibility of a ministry, the responsibility of a teaching, exhorting, or any other way that the Lord may want to use, it must be done in the spirit of a love and in the spirit of a humility. Paul continued to say, let love be without dissimulations. Our obedience to Christ's new commandment is to be sincere and wholehearted. If it is so, we'll be diligent in doing the things that Paul mentions and in giving heed to the further details of the perfect will of God. Then we'll be kindly and affectionate one another with the brotherly love, the honor, and the mutual respect. Thus to love causes us to rejoice with them that rejoice, and weep with them that weep. These are the words of the Master. If we give a diligence to obey the Lord's commandment, it will mean a genuine love in our hearts for the brethren. And determination to lay down our life for them in return for this love, we will have a divine love a shower upon us with all that it means of a peace and joy. Our relationship with our Heavenly Father is so intimate that we can go to Him in prayer day and night. He never sleeps. We can always approach our Heavenly Father. We are told that when a baby is born, I hope I'm correct with some of the sisters here, he sees very little with his eyes, but he can turn his little face towards the mother's face by the sound of the voice. And when the mother makes eye contact with her baby, then love binds them together. From that moment on, mentally, the mother never sleeps. She can hear every sound that the baby makes. We are told that when the baby touches the mother, it makes possible for the mother, for the baby, to develop a sense of a trust and confidence in the mother. And even the touch of his skin against the mother's skin, we are told that it stimulates the production of milk by the mother for the baby. Our relationship with our Heavenly Father is the same way. Once we too were blind to the truth, but once our eyes were open to the truth, and by the grace of God, we will be able, like a baby, to turn our face towards our Heavenly Father and hear His touch and hear His voice. Oh, how we love to hear the Lord speaking to us. You know, brethren, last September, I developed a problem with my eyes, with the left eye. I consulted three eye specialists, and none of them know what my problem is. Perhaps the Lord gave me the same answer He gave it to Paul, "My grace is sufficient unto thee." But anyhow, I wanted to do a little bit of investigations for the function of the eye, and I bought a book. Very interesting. I never realized how delicate the eye is. And to my surprise, the doctor that wrote the book, he said in his book that we don't see with our eyes, that we see with the brain. I says to my wife, "This is impossible. How can we see with the brain and open up the eye?" It makes sense. Have you watched a typist typing? Does she look at the keyboard or computer? She doesn't. Therefore, my brethren, we can see our Heavenly Father with our mental vision, and we know He's there. We can hear His voice. You know, yesterday, you probably saw this, the local newspaper, it's like looking at God. Interesting, isn't it? Where the world look at the firmament, where the world look at the earth, and they say it is like looking at God. We too, my brethren, with our mental visions, we can look to our Heavenly Father through the word of the truth. If we recognize that voice, like the baby. Like the baby and his mother, we can trust our Heavenly Father and be thankful for the wonderful relationship that we have with such a loving God. And thus in our mind we can feel His presence. And we know He's always on our side. And we can touch Him with the word of truth. And consider the word of Jesus expressed in Matthew 18:20 when He says, "For when two or three are gathered together in My name, there am I in their midst." Thus, when we meet in convention like this one, we can be sure the angels are in this hall, and this no longer we can call a hall, we can call this a meeting place between us and Heavenly Father. And with our mental vision, we can see angels, we can feel the presence of God. My brethren, we live in a world of violence, selfishness. In such an environment, faith and confidence in our Heavenly Father is of paramount importance and indispensable. And when we connect our faith and confidence, it radiates the glorious light provision made for us by Heavenly Father's love. Yes, we have been called to glory and virtue, and I have faithful God has made every necessary provisions to enable us to attain that for which we have been called. And among these provisions are the Lord's exceeding precious promises. And there is through this mighty working of this promise that we are partakers of the divine nature. And by their encouragement, by their authority, by their own faithfulness to all the conditions attached to them, and by the spiritual power of our life, and as we press on towards the price of the high calling, we continuously need the strength which the love of the Heavenly Father provide for each one of us. Oh yes, there is a possibility that we, like the little baby, cry to the Lord on severe circumstances. Oh yes, I cry many times. I'm sure you have. But there is no possible circumstances in our Christian life in which God has not promised to be with us and supply all our needs. Our faith and confidence is based upon the promises of God. Because we know, we believe with all our hearts that He is a powerful God. He is to wise to Aaron and to loving to be unkind. His wisdom can easily discern whether or not it is best to give us strength to endure certain trials or to provide an escape from them. remember and never forget. His decision is always based on what it is best for us as a new creature in Christ. His love for us is so strong and comprehensive that no matter what experience will come to us, we can rest assured that nothing, absolutely nothing, can touch us without his permission. You recall that Job was a servant of God. And before the adversary, the devil, could touch the life of the faithful servant, he had to have the permission of God. Brethren, we are much more than servants. We are sons of God, a precious property that belonged to the Lord. And the devil, or any power, invisible, visible, wasn't there to touch the Lord's property, the ones that belong to him. On the other hand, it is not the case of a blindly trust in the Lord in the sense of not knowing the ultimate purpose of the experience for which he permits to come to us or in our lives. The Christian, he has revealed that purpose, which is that in us the image of the Master may be developed in preparation for the blessed privilege of reigning with him in his kingdom of glory throughout the endless ages of eternity. What an honor this is to be with God, to see him, divine nature, immortal. Think of him, brethren. Just to think of him, what an honor this is. So therefore, love and trust are essential, because with our limited comprehension and short-sight viewpoint, it is at times impossible to understand just how this or that experience, whether of joy or sorrow, may be the best for us at times. Oh yes, brethren, if we were the master of our own destiny, so far they bade thy day, walk in life which concern, probably we would change a lot of things. But in doing so, we would create circumstances and conditions which I'm sure they would be detrimental to ourselves as new creatures in Christ. How essential then it is to develop a complete confidence in the love of our Heavenly Father, in the love of our Heavenly Father's care, and to learn that his ways are always the best. If sometimes we do not agree with our Heavenly Father, his wisdom and his love for us knows that which will be the best for us. As a new creature in Christ, we should always remember that our Heavenly Father loves us and cares for us. His protection, his strength is made perfect in our weakness. And as we know the final victory which he promised to give us through Christ, it's not based on the great things that we can do, because we haven't accomplished much, but rather on the base of our love we have for him for Jesus, for the truth, and on the base of the love we have for the brethren. Perhaps in our Christian life there comes a time that the Lord will ask you and me a personal question. You remember, he asked a personal question to Peter on the Sea of Tiberias. Yes, we know that Peter loved the Lord very dearly, and the Lord loved him in the same manner. Peter believed all his heart that Jesus was the Messiah, that Jesus was the Son of God. And with a frame of mind, he was troubled by the occasional reference of the Lord related to suffering and death. Even though he denied the Lord three times, he was not a coward. He was a courageous individual and tremendous love for the Master. At the crucial moment of Jesus' arrest, and not knowing that it was necessary for Jesus to die, in his mind he developed a strategy as not to be recognized as a personal friend of Jesus, in the thinking and effort that he could free Jesus from his enemy. And of course you know the rest. At his resurrection, Jesus appeared to the disciples by the Sea of Jordan. And as he was waiting for them to come ashore, a middle breakfast for them to come, he welcomed them. When they appeared to them, they recognized that he was the Master, but they didn't say a boo, they didn't say nothing. Then when they had finished the breakfast, Jesus says to Peter, "Simon, son of John, lovest thou me more than these?" He said unto him, "Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee." He said unto him, "Feed my lambs." Jesus asked him the same question the second time. Then Jesus said unto him the third time, "Simon, son of John, lovest thou me?" This time Peter was grieved, because he said unto him the third time, "Thou lovest thou me?" And Peter said to him, "Lord, do thou know all things? Thou knowest that I love thee." Then Jesus said unto him, "Feed my sheep." Some expressed the thought that the Lord asked Peter if he loved him more than the disciple. That wasn't the case. The Lord asked him questions to find out if he loved the Master more than he did the fishing business. There was the thought. The Lord knows how much we love him. We don't have to tell the Lord. He knows. "Thou knowest all things," he said. My brethren, this is a personal question that the Lord will ask each one of us. How much we love the Lord. How much do you love the Lord? Each one of us will answer this question in his own heart, in our heart. "I know I love the Lord," and I'm sure you love the Lord. When do we have this engraved in our hearts, my brethren? This is agape love, the highest kind of love, which it's not a superficial, my brethren.
It has to be deeply engraved in our hearts. It will show sooner or later. And if we are obedient to such a love, then the Lord will tell us, feed my sheep. We can rest assured, my brethren, again, that there is no principalities of Paul mentioned in the book of Romans. No power in the whole world that can separate us from the love of God. My brother, I see the chairman here. We don't have a time to finish the continuum. For conclusion, let me say a few words to you, my brethren. I love you. We love you with all our hearts. We love the truth. We love the brethren. If it's necessary, we give our love for the brethren. And this is what the truth is all about. It's not knowledge that'll bring us to the kingdom. Knowledge is good, but there is the love that we have for the Lord, the truth and the brethren, that will bring us to the kingdom. And may the Lord his blessings.
We thank you, Brother Joel. Appreciate your service and your love for the Lord. Thank you very much.